Well, good morning, good morning. If you would stand to your feet this morning. What an amazing day to praise our risen King. Amen. confess that He is Lord. Let every knee come bow before the King of Kings. Let every tongue confess that He is Lord.
Look at Him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, we look at you today, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we glorify the name above every name in Jesus. That's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. We remember that today, resurrection, was the greatest thing that has ever happened to the earth. Hallelujah. Yeah, we love our independence and our freedoms. That's why we celebrate 4th of July. We love Christmas. Hallelujah, the birth of Jesus. But if it wasn't for the resurrection, there would be no hope for you and I. None whatsoever. Today, the greatest day in history. And we remember and we celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope you're excited today. And I'll thank you for all, of course, most of them are gone, that came out this morning for our 7 a.m. sunrise service, our first one we ever had outside. So it was beautiful. Hallelujah. And what was so interesting was when I was giving the altar call, the farm across from us, the rooster crowed. And I said, "Don't wait for the third one to crow." And then later I said, "Thanks for the crow." Yeah, so whatever. It was beautiful. So God touched people out there. I've still had people come up to me in church and say, "Hey, man, God touched me, healed me," and things of that nature. He is alive and well. Amen. Awesome. So if this is your first time here this morning, thank you for coming out to Only Believe on your early Sunday morning. It's beautiful outside. It's going to be a beautiful day. So if you are here and you want to know more about the church, boom, we have some stuff right there. You can hit your phone up there and it'll give you some information about the church, a little bit of who we are, what we're about. And then if you don't have a phone or you don't know how to do all that mess, you can go straight out to the Welcome Center and they'll help you out there. We want to get to know you, see what you're all about, and maybe this will become your home church out here in the middle of nowhere in the cornfield. Hallelujah. It's amazing, isn't it? It's awesome. Now, if you also need a prayer request, we have people coming around and they'll be handing you a prayer request, because here at Only Believe, we do what? We pray first. That's right, because prayer works. Did you hear me? Prayer works. If it didn't work, the devil wouldn't be so trying to keep it out of the schools, keep it out of the public eye, because it works. So we pray here. So if you have a prayer request, write them down. We pray every week, every day, for stuff in your life, for people in your life, and we see prayers reports because God hears our prayers and he answers them. Amen? All right. Well, it's time for our, also for our offering and tithe today. And we've been doing a specific scripture verse every month. And we do that just so we can get a different aspect about it, get it into our hearts, think about it. And this month, it comes from 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verses 12 and 13. And it says, "For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men." Basically, all of that says this in a nutshell. When you do what you are supposed to do as obedient followers of Christ, we as the church get to do what we need to do to help people, organizations, feed people, clothe people, do all kinds of outreaches here and abroad. When you're obedient, and then we are obedient, ultimately, the people that get blessed, that get help, they glorify God. He gets all of the glory for everything. When you do what you're supposed to do, when we do what we are supposed to do, God does what he does. And everybody glorifies him. He gets the glory. He gets the honor. That is what Paul is saying here, because the Corinthians at this church were doing what they were supposed to do. Everything was smooth for once. And he was very happy. And so he was giving God glory and also telling the church, thank you for being obedient. Because of that, these people's needs are being met. Things are happening and God is getting the glory. And then ultimately people are coming to him and believing in him. That's it. That's the gospel. And that's what we do here. Amen. All right, stand to your feet one more time. And we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. God, we thank you that you gave first. You set the example for us. You gave your son. Hallelujah. And Father, because of that, you, God, are getting the reward of salvations, of people, of relationships. God, we thank you that when we obey, that when we are obedient, that we also get rewards. We get blessed as well. It's your promise. And God, I thank you for obedience in this house. And I thank you for blessings in this house, in people's lives, in families' lives, to be touched, to be helped, to be healed, to be ministered to. We thank you for it, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, come on down, bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. God bless you.
I got him this early.
I should have been able to make a good life for myself. Wealth and status couldn't protect me from Satan and the ways he found to play on my weaknesses. Satan got his claws in me. His hold was so strong that I ended up possessed by 7 demons. Possessed. I was tortured by everything you can imagine. Depression, anxiety, anger, fear, wicked thoughts, even physically tortured. When I heard about this man named Jesus everyone was talking about, I got angry. Jesus heals, they said. He sets people free. No. Even he couldn't help someone like me. Not everyone can be saved. But Jesus was looking for me. He was searching for me. He sought me out. In all my failures, despite my twisted thoughts and deepest desires, in all of it, he didn't reject me. He came for me. What he did is still unbelievable when I think about it. I was such a mess, but he cleaned me up. He made me whole. When I met my King Jesus, I was completely and fully known for the truth of what I was. And still, I was completely and fully loved.
Why Jesus chose me to be one of his disciples. I wasn't worthy of following him. I wasn't important. I didn't deserve his time. Up close with him, experiencing his way of life, the things that I witnessed, miracles, so many miracles. I saw blind eyes opened and the sick recover with just a word from him. Jesus was perfect love. He was perfect love as a human. He was good in ways I'd never seen before. Jesus had been warning us of what was to come, but the others and I didn't understand the real weight of what he was saying until that night in the garden. As perfect as he was, Son of the Living God, as much as he understood the reason behind what was about to happen to him, the cost to obey God was more than I can ever imagine. He had to fight through his emotions just like me. Mm-hmm. Which makes what I did that night even harder to forgive myself for. Jesus was arrested in the garden, taken into custody by Roman guards like a criminal. This had never happened before. I mean, there'd been threats, but never follow through. And in that defining moment, outside the high priest's house next to the fire, when it mattered, I was a coward. And I told the people around me that I never knew it. I denied my king, the one that I'd followed for years, that I'd served. I watched him perform miracles. And what makes it worse is earlier that day, Jesus had told me I would deny him. And I didn't believe him. I didn't think it was possible. How could I deny him? That's exactly what I did. He chose me, and he cared for me. And I turned my back on him to save my own skin. How can I deny my king like that?
Thank you.
Oh, come on, if you would stand to your feet. What something to shout about. Our King is alive. Amen. Hallelujah.
I wish I could tell you. Wish I could describe it, but I can't contain it, can't keep it to myself. There aren't enough colors to paint the whole picture, and not enough words to ever say what I found.
Wonderful and beautiful and glorious and holy, He is merciful and
grave. Amen. Not the King of Kings, but the King of all kings. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord, that He brought us back to life. Amen. I'll tell you, this has been one glorious Easter week. Amen. We've reflected, we've celebrated, we're continuing to celebrate, but I could think of No greater day to be alive and doing God's purpose than today. Do you realize that this day was chosen and you were chosen to be here? Do you get that? That this day was an orchestration from the beginning of time, that you would be here in this time, in this seat, listening to this message because God ordained it from the beginning. That he chose you, that he searched and sought for you. Whew, that just amazes me. That someone like him would be so interested in someone like me. Whew. Wow. Well, let's pray. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. And God, make this message quick. God, that we can get everybody home for Easter. But God, let it burn in our hearts. Let it burn in our hearts, God, today. Father, let it move the hearts of every person here, God, today, that they would hear the message coming forth. And Father, everyone being given a choice at the end of this message, Father, that they would choose rightly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, church, we're going to start in John, the 12th chapter today, and I'm going to be reading. Now, this is the prediction from Jesus of his death. We got to go a little bit backwards in order to move forward if you didn't come to Good Friday service. How many of you were here for Good Friday, by the way? Give me a show of hands. Beautiful turnout, beautiful turnout. Did you love the production? Was that beautiful? Oh, I'd love to say it was my idea, but I had nothing to do with it. And it was a beautiful, and I'm telling you, the way it was executed, they did an amazing job. Amen. All right, let's start in the 23rd verse. And here's what it says. It says, Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone, but its death will produce many kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it, but those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity." Now, this obviously is a parable that Jesus is writing. And he's talking about this. Here's the problem, is that God didn't send Christ to just die for us. He sent him to die for us, but to be buried in the ground. God chose to put Jesus in the ground for you and I. Why? Because the kingdom of God is like a seed. Anything that is planted in the ground, you don't tell it how big it's going to be. You don't tell it what it's going to be. It's already chose. So God takes Christ, the perfect man, perfect. Mind you and I are imperfect, right? And plants him in the earth, buried. Now the devil thinks that if I can kill him, I can kill the plan of God. Little did he know that the earth doesn't work like that when God's in control. Someone say amen. He planted Christ in the ground. And 3 days later, the world thought their problems were over. But new life sprang up from the resurrection of Christ, which became the seed of all mankind. Do you get that? Jesus was the seed that you and I are the harvest of. So we too are like Christ. The devil thought he was going to get rid of one, and all he did was bear and bore all of you. The devil thought he had one problem taken care of and looks upon today that he's got about 500 more problems. He thought he had put it in the ground, but really, he had just planted it to bring forth more fruit. Amen? I was pretty important, and now the devil's afraid of me. Now let's go to John, the 14th chapter. And we're going to start 1 through 7. I know, don't pass out. It's okay. The word is good. And when we read the word of God, it changes us. Amen? Jesus is comforting his disciples. For those of you that have red letters, this is his words. It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go there to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you will also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas chimes in. Thomas said to him, Lord, but we don't know where you're going. So how will we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Now I want to start with the bottom part of that scripture where it says, I am. In other words, there is no other. So no other, I am the only way, the only path, the only route to get to where I'm going. And I'm the truth. I am the truth. I'm the only standard of what you live by to get there. And I am the life, meaning I am the source. The source, do you get that? The source of all life. Nothing breathed, nothing grew, nothing multiplied until God, the I am, put it into motion. Amen? So Jesus is telling you there is no other way except through me. In fact, watch what I'm about to do, because I'm going to willingly lay my life down, and then I'm going to go to hell where the devil is. I'm going to get the keys and I'm going to take back my life. I'm going to give it to him so he thinks he's got me. And then with all the authority that my Father has given me from heaven, I'm going down to take it back. And then I'm going to give it away. What? See, you missed it. You missed it. He didn't just come back so he can go live his happy life. He took it back so that he could give this life to you. Not just breath in your body, not just multiplication and seed in your ovaries and in your, wherever they are. He gave it to you that you could give life and more abundantly. This is who God is. And he says, don't be troubled because I'm coming back to get you. And the same power that I went down and I got it and I took back my life, I'm going to give you eternal life. If you identify, I am the way. I am the only standard. I am the truth. I am the life. Do you believe it today?
Amen.
Amen. See, I'm going to remind you something a little earlier in my message. Judgment and eternity is real. Heaven and hell are real. It's not a story that we fictitiously read about. This is a real deal. And one day, each and every one of us are promised we will die. And when we do, you get a grade card. I'm gonna be real. Grade cards were not good for me. I didn't like grade card day. I tried to stay with my friends as long as I could before I had to go home with that grade card in my backpack. You want to know why? Because there was not a bunch of A's and B's. There was a bunch of C's and D's on my credit card. And I knew there was a penalty to pay for it. But now that you get a grade card and you have a choice, if someone else could take your test, would you not allow someone else who's a straight A student to take the test? Yes, let me answer that for you. I paid for that service. I'm going to be real with you. I bought syllabuses from the prior year's class so that I could pass. Wow. That's no lie. That was when I was a sinner. I'm just letting you know. For those who love this life in this world, you're going to die without an eternity with Christ. One that's dark, one that has no light. I'm not going to have Andrew turn off the lights because that's not safe for anybody. I want everyone to close your eyes. Imagine for the rest of eternity, you know what? Close them really, really tight and put your hands over them because that light's still breaking through. Do you see how dark that is? That's forever. That's a world with no light. And you understand that when you don't choose Christ, this is how it looks for eternity. There's no hope. There's nothing else except outer darkness. Okay, now open your eyes. Isn't it better? Isn't it better? And just imagine, that's not even your emotions connected to that darkness. The feeling of hopelessness, the feeling of loss. I don't want to know what that's like. I don't want to know what that's like. John 3:16, I'm going to read it because I know it's an overused scripture verse, but I want to read it. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God," this is the part everyone leaves out, right here, right here. See, everyone wants the first part. "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Through him. Christ came and he made a difference and he saved us. See, I want to go where there's no more pain. I want to go where there's no more struggle. I want to go where there's victory every single day. I want to go and spend the rest of my life with Christ. Amen? Let's go to Romans, the 6th chapter, the 4th verse. For those of you that were in the morning service, I think Randy stole some of my notes. Just want everyone to know. But he says, you know, he didn't, but I left them on the counter last night. So just maybe. I'm sorry, I shouldn't clap. Here we go. It says, "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism." Now wait a minute. "Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also," someone say also, "may live new lives." Now you realize that I didn't die physically, but every sin in my life went to the cross with Christ already. Did you get that? It says, "I was crucified with Christ. I died to sin when he died with my sin on that cross." His sin, my sin, put him there. Your sin put him on the cross. But I was buried with him. Now, what happens when Jesus was buried? What happened to him? He rose again. When you and I are buried through baptism, the symbolism of baptism, we are then put under the water, put in the ground, pulled back up, raised to life. So when you and I go through the same scenario, what Christ paid for you and I is not just a washing of your sin. It's a transformation by the Holy Spirit through baptism, and then I'm resurrected a new person. I no longer think like I did. I no longer walk like I did. I no longer speak to people the way I did. I no longer treat people the way I did. Why? Because I was crucified with Christ, meaning the old person that I was is now dead. Yes. Now, last time I checked, how many of you have ever looked at roadkill? Anybody? Yeah. Uh-huh. If you get out and you take a stick and you poke that dead coon, does he growl? Does he bite back? Does he get up and fight you? Some of our flesh acts like roadkill, but it ain't dead. So I'm going to tell a story about myself. This isn't in my notes, so I'm going to apologize in advance in case it gets a little crazy. I went to one of my leaders in my younger days in the church, and I said, you know, this girl, she's really driving me nuts on the worship team, and she said this about me, she said this about me, and she said that about me. And my leader said, and? I said, what do you mean? You need to fix that. And he said, are you dead to yourself? I said, yes, I am. Of course I am. I ain't living in no sin. He said, you know what? Last time I checked, when I poke something dead, it shouldn't bark. And it looks to me like this little girl keeps poking you, and you keep barking. Because here you are. Come on, bark.
Bark.
And all of a sudden, it made sense. Is that I identified my flesh was not crucified. My flesh was more alive than it had ever been. And all you had to do was find the right spot on the right day at the right time. And this girl was going to bark. But I realized that you know what the devil was doing? He was seeding me with a seed of offense. So he gave me a book called The Bait of Satan. He said, now, I know you're perfect. And you're really dead to your flesh, but I just want to give you this yellow highlighter. And whatever you feel in this book, I just want you to highlight it. And then bring it back to me and we'll discuss it. He said, but it shouldn't take long because there won't be many markings in the book since you're not offended. That book from front to back was marked yellow. He said, you have just learned that you have been baited by the enemy. And your flesh is not crucified, and you do not have enough love in your perfect being to love that girl where she's at. So you, being the one that I'm requiring much from, are going to get up and get over yourself and show up to rehearsal, and you're going to love her even though she talks bad about you. Now, I don't know who that was for or what that was for, but you're going to have to get over yourself. Because whether we like it or not, if we were crucified with Christ, then we were buried with him and we were raised to new life. Not old, not partial, not part ways, new Amen. Life. Amen? And you can have as much of Jesus as you want. You can take just the sin part. You can take my sins have been forgiven. And yeah, you know, now I'm all washed white as new and it's great. And turn around tomorrow and start sinning again and need the grace before you go to bed. But that's not revelation that brings transformation. And you know, while we're here, it's Easter Sunday, might as well just say it. Some of you are waiting for your pastors to eat the word, chew it up, and come spit it into your spirit. And let me tell you something. I'm going to hear me out. As a new babe in Christ, that's okay. For those of us that have been sitting in these pews for 40 plus years, you would think it's time that we come out of the milk stage and we start eating some of the meat stage and we start to identify that the revelation that your pastor receives can only create a certain amount of transformation in your life. But when you'll go to the word and get a revelation and eat your own plate, you might be full when you walk away and the inside of you may be changed, and what you could never touch and never get rid of and never get free from got free, not because of your pastor's revelation, but because of your revelation of what God means to you in this day, in your time. Amen? Because see, I don't know what goes on in your mind. I don't know the evil thoughts you have. I don't know the insecurities that you possess. But the Holy Spirit, oh, in spite of who you look like on Easter morning, because I know you've all shined up. I know you have. My mom, in fact, she told me about this stuff she put on her legs. Don't use it. It's not good. She says it goes in all your cracks. So we don't want to make your legs look wrinkly, but everyone needs a good Easter laugh. Sorry, Mom. Oh, I want to say this. I can't be self-controlled enough if I try. I can't love perfectly, even if I try. On my best day, Easter, lotion put on my legs. I don't have what it takes, but because my Savior did, I can. Because he was perfect, because he was blameless, I am now perfect and blameless. Amen. Amen. We got to walk in that place. Let's go to Romans. Keep in Romans right there. Stay in the fifth verse. It says, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might, did you say, might lose its power in our lives. You know what that tells me? There's a choice in that sinful nature, because it might rear its head. It might show itself on a really bad day, and I might have to put it under. I might have to depend upon the crucifixion at the cross for my strength to get through and put it under and remind it, when I poke you, you don't bark. That's in Nikki's terms. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Now, either you believe you were set free from its power, or you believe you were only set free from portions of power. See, we get in our mind that there's some sins that are too strong to break. Well, I've been looking at pornography for 30 years. It's 30 years. How's that going to go away? Oh, because the power of sin is broke. That's why. How about the addiction to cigarettes? How about the addiction to things that are unclean on television? How about the addiction of alcohol? How about the addiction of work instead of being with your family? See, all these are struggle points that God doesn't want us to live in. And he says, I've given you the power to be free of sin. But if you don't use the faith to grab a hold of it and say, that is mine, then it'll never be yours. Amen. And you'll be walking around addicted to all kinds of different things. And I want to be real with you. This is easy to say up here, but I have a certain addiction. I used to be, and this is not in my notes either. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm just so glad we think this should be transparent, Pastor Nicole Sunday. So glad about that. I used to be addicted to Dr. Pepper. And my father's brother was addicted to crack. He had come to do a job for us. You never pay one of my dad's brothers the whole amount of money, because you never know if they're coming back. So we'd give, Mom, shouldn't be barking. Shouldn't be barking. It's a real thing. Everyone's got family. We all got one of them, you know. Well, my uncle had come over, and I had made him lunch. He was working on some brickwork that we had. And I had made him lunch, and I said, Uncle, come on in, let's eat lunch. And he said, okay. And so we came in, and I was expressing to him that I didn't understand what his addiction looked like. I said, I really don't understand it. And he looked at me, and he said, yes, you do. I said, no, I don't. No, I don't. I've never been addicted to anything. And he took the Dr. Pepper can from in front of me. He said, yes, you are. And he put it over to the side. He said, give that up. And you tell me when you break, because you're going to break. You mark my words. I give you about 4 or 5 days and you're going to break. You want to know why? Because your body's going to start telling you you desire something that you don't. And you don't possess the power to deny yourself of that Dr. Pepper. Now, I just thought, that's a joke. I said, all right, uncle, you just take that Dr. Pepper. I don't want it. 3 days later, I was at a gas station with a migraine. Complete migraine. Didn't want to eat food, was barking at my family like you would not believe. Everyone was the problem but Miss Dr. Pepper right here. And everyone was going to pay because I couldn't drink what I wanted. I'm telling you, it was of the devil. And I went into that gas station. It is right by our house, that little green Duchess shop. I went in there and I bought a 16-ounce pop top bottle. And before I got to the register, I had popped it, snorted that carbonation. Woo! It was amazing. It was like my lights came on. And I drank that sucker and I got in the car and I called my uncle and I said, I broke. And I didn't think I knew what it meant to be addicted, but I do. And you're right. And this is my last Dr. Pepper and I'm not going back. Do you know I have been free of Dr. Pepper? I went 2 years without touching one. I can now touch it, drink one, and leave it for weeks and never come back. I never understood what source or power carbonation and corn syrup had over my life. Now, God forbid that RFK or whoever he is does away with Dr. Pepper and Mountain Dew in America, we're all gonna die. You should all be afraid, I'm telling you. Whew, they don't even sell that Mountain Dew anywhere else in other countries. I'm not who I was because I identify what the power of that drink had over me. Your power of the power of sin has been broke in your life because of Christ's resurrection. And if you don't believe it, then you don't believe in the resurrection. Did you just hear what I said? Because the same power that gave you the power over sin and addiction is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And don't downplay that power. Don't downplay his ability to change your life and to set you free from whatever ails you. That is simply just someone allowing you to be justified and vindicate your ugly self. Let's go on to Titus. This will be over quick. I'm working on it. You know it. The pain's going to quit. Titus 3, 4 through 7. Here's what it says. It says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Here's what I remind you of. The Holy Spirit is the one who does this work. You can try, you can read self-help books, but the bottom line is that the Holy Spirit is one of the most underused portions of the Trinity today. You know, God always gets all this credit. He gets credit for earthquakes, he gets credit for floods, he gets credit for all of it, right? Everybody blames God for everything. Everyone loves Christ because he was our Savior. And obviously, he's the one that went through the suffering and he did it. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit that Christ sent to you and I to help you through the hard times. To help this transforming work. To help you become new. To help you accept this life and begin to walk and operate in it. We have a requirement. And if you really believe in eternal life, then it requires, it commands, it demands, believe it or not, that you live your life differently. I know you didn't come to church. You wanted to hear an Easter message that required nothing of you because he paid it all. I'm speaking right to myself. When you believe in the resurrection, it's proof. It's proof to you that God can do what he said he would do in your life. If you're sick, you're spiritually sick, you're mentally sick, you're emotionally sick, your body is physically sick, you know what? The same power that set you free, that raised Christ from the dead, is living in you and I. You don't believe me? Let's go to Galatians 2:20, and I'm going to be wrapping up soon. Galatians 2:20, this is what it says. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body or my flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Not faith in faith, not faith in my boss to provide, not faith in my pastor to teach me right from wrong, although we're going to, but faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This word in Christ means to be united to him, like a limb or a body. Remember, Christ is the head of the church, and we are the body with many parts. So we are united with Christ. So when you see Christ, you see David. When you see Christ, you see Sharon. When you see Christ, you see Angie. Why? Because we're united to him. You don't get to just choose to bring Christ along with you. You now live your life in Christ. Do you realize that God never made anything first without giving it somewhere to live? Oh, hold up here. Do you know the fish weren't created until the sea was made? You don't go home, you don't have a baby and then say, oh, now we need a nursery. No, you make a nursery and you bring home the baby and you put it in the nursery. Do you know God made a garden and he said, and then I'm going to make man and I'm going to put him in it. You are now in Christ. When we live according to that, then no longer do we live by the way we used to live. It requires that because you're living in something, that's how you look. Take a glove. This is a hand. This is Christ. Right here, my hand. Right? Fivefold ministry. Did you get that? Mm-hmm, Christ. Yeah, okay. Put a glove over this hand. This glove fits. If it don't fit, you can't acquit. We're not using that in this situation. Put a rubber glove over my hand. Can you tell I was born in the OJ days? I literally watched the whole case. I loved it. I'm a true crime person. Put the glove over my hand. The hand still works according to the glove. Am I right? Why? Because I am in Christ. I am in who he is. And he is around me. And when he moves, I move. When he turns his eyes from something, I turn my eyes from something. When it offends his heart, it offends mine. When he loves and sees someone that's broken, I respond like he does. And anyone that knows me knows that I have an administration gift. That's probably not the truth. If I walk into a room, I'm going to start straightening the room up. I'm going to make sure that all of these pews are straight up and down and not one of them's an inch off. And if so, I'm like, David, that pew needs moved over. Find somebody with a mercy gift. They're going to walk into this church and the very first person that they see crying, oh, what's wrong with you? Oh, it's okay. Why? God, he makes us different to do different things. But you are united in him. And when he is in you, you're in him, you're responding the way he responds. Here's the problem. Sometimes we spend time with Christ to be in him. Did you get that? You spend time with Christ to be in him. No. Because I'm in Christ, I spend time with him. And when I spend time with him, because I'm in him, I become like him. So no longer do the things that bother me before bother me now, because I'm in him. He's not in me. Does that make sense? I took on his likeness. He didn't take on mine because he was perfect love and I was the imperfect one. But he came looking for me. He came looking for you. Some of you have come here today out of obligation. I'll be honest with you. Your mom said all she wanted for Easter was for you to come to church, your sister, whatever that looks like. Some of you came out of tradition because going to church on Easter is what we do. Some of you came because this is how you celebrate your Easter and you wanted to remember. But I want you to identify that God knew you would be here. And God knew that I was going to give you a choice. See, there's two choices the way this looks. And one choice is a choice if you don't choose it. I'm just going to tell you in advance so you know what's happening. To choose Christ means you choose this life. You choose to say, I'm not worthy. I don't have it all together. But I believe that you did. And because you did, you went to Calvary, you rose from the dead, and you gave this new life to me. And so now the things that I thought were impossible are possible. The fact that I thought I could be good on my own wasn't enough, but now I can see that his goodness, his obedience was better than mine. And because of his obedience, God received that sacrifice. And now he paid for me. Or you can choose to stay in the muck and the mire of the world today. And hear me out when I say that. You can have a lot of money in this world and still not be filled. My uncle used to say that he could go to the bar and drink all the booze he could handle. He's a big man, could handle a lot of booze, hard liquor, and take any girl home that he wanted in that bar. And he said, but the next morning, I would wake up and I wanted to chew my arm off rather than wake that girl up beside me. I couldn't believe what I had done. I couldn't believe that I had slept with her. I couldn't believe that I had drank my guts out again. He said, I was never fulfilled on the inside. Never. He said, but when I married your aunt and I slept with her for the first time, I was fulfilled. Why? Because he did it right. He did it in God's eyes. It wasn't sin. See, it doesn't matter what you do. If it's not in Christ, it's out of you. And anything out of you that is not connected to Christ means it's of this world. And I know you might not want to hear this, but that means you're connected to the devil. There's no one in the middle. There's no one in the middle. And if you walk away today from this choice, and you say, Pastor Nicole, I'm just not ready. I can't do it today, but I'm really not choosing Jesus. I'm just choosing not today. Then you did choose. Then you did choose your choice. Peter denied Christ. Not once, not twice, three times. And God forgave him. He didn't just forgive him. He brought him back and restored him. And upon Peter, he built his church. There's nothing that you have done too big that God cannot redeem it. Nothing. And our Savior didn't do this for perfect people. He did it for imperfect people. I would like to give you an invitation today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you are in this house today on Easter and you say, I understand there's two choices. There's Jesus or there's the world's way. There's the devil. There's heaven or there's hell. And one day I'm going to give an account for how I've lived this life. I'm going to give an account for everything I've done wrong. And if you don't have the blood of Jesus to cover that, it's not going to be a good day. It's going to be a day where you're going to be cast into outer darkness without light, without hope, void of the truth, void of peace, void of joy. And every fear, every failure will keep playing through your mind through the rest of eternity. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't be telling you this today. There's a choice to be made between Jesus and the devil. And I'm asking that you would make that choice today, right now. If there is anyone in the house that would love to give their life to Christ, that would say, Pastor Nicole, I need this fixed. I'm done living the way that I've been living. Then I just want you to slip your hand up. Slip your hand up so I can see it. Slip your hand up all over this building. All over this building. Yes, I see you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. The strength and the boldness of one to lift their hand to say, I want to know you, Christ, and know you more. Would there be anyone else that would say, today's my birthday. Today the angels are going to rejoice. Today the heavens are going to rejoice that I've given my life to Christ. There's another one. Thank you. Thank you. Don't wait. Don't wait. You're not promised tomorrow. Church, I know he's coming back. It's sooner than later. There's another one. Another one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you, God, for the love of Christ in this room right now. Yes. Oh, thank you, Lord. All right. I'm going to ask that you stand to your feet. Everyone here. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you that raised your hand, Randy and I would like to pray with you today. And I'm going to ask you to do something bold, maybe that you've never done before, but I'm going to ask that you would come and pray this sinner's prayer with us today. I know it's in front of everybody. I know this can be very challenging. There's people right now. The prayer team's gonna walk with you. If you don't have enough strength, raise your hand. I'll come get you. I'll come get you. Would you come? Come right now if you'd like to receive Jesus. Ran. Ran. Hallelujah. 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 It's okay. Come on. What's your way? Look at you, strong man. There you go. Come on. Come. 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 Mama, you want to come? Give me your hands. She comes. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you. Randy, just repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, before you today. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I denounce the devil. I choose Jesus.
Yes.
Because he chose me. I no longer live for you. But God, I live for you. And you alone. I believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Take me as I am. Choose to live in me. Because I will live for eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, church, this is your family. This is your family. Oh, this is awesome. Happy Easter. Oh, what a good day in the Lord. Amen. Oh, church, we're going to go right here. Yep. Oh, church, what a beautiful day. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at all that. Look at all that. Yes. Thank you, Shekinah. Randy, come on up here. Praise the Lord.
That's what it's about. Hallelujah. And I know there's more out there. Hallelujah. There's more out there. It's not too late, obviously, until you're dead. Until your last breath, there's always hope.
Except the Amen. Story you told at sunrise about the lady Tell me that story.
There was a mission trip out in California, actually. And this little girl saw an old man sitting on a curb. He was homeless. She went up to him, started witness to him and talking to him. And he gave his life to Jesus, which was awesome. She kept on moving with the team around another block or so. They heard an ambulance and some sirens. And so they're like, wow, that's just on the other block. Let's go see what's going on. Maybe we can pray for somebody or whatever. They went around the corner and it was that guy. He had a massive heart attack and died. The last minute, God sent that little girl over there and he gave his life to Jesus before spending eternity. Hallelujah. Thank God in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I'm reminded that God's not a God of just second chances. But he's a God of another chance.
Yes. Yes.
Another chance. Yes. And some of you have exempted yourself from another chance. You might think that because of what you've done, it's too bad. He could never accept you. It's not true. It's not true. He can accept you because there's enough chances.
Absolutely.
I've used a lot. Amen.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else want to make that decision before we move on? Hallelujah. All right.
Praise the Lord. What a beautiful Easter.
Okay, this was a beautiful Easter. Amen.
It's going to be even more beautiful for us.
Why? Oh, right now.
Yeah, so we want to pray and dismiss the family of God if you choose to go. We know you have Easter plans and dinners and family coming over, and that's amazing, and we encourage you, embrace it. Amen? Don't talk politics. Don't talk struggle. Just have fun today.
We get to do something that's actually dear to our heart. We're going to dedicate our first grandbaby to the Lord today, which is beautiful. We're so excited about that.
We are. And if you want to stay and be a part of that, you're more than welcome.
Absolutely.
Jillian and Quentin and the family
would love. Come on down, guys. Come on down, family.
For you to be here. But if you need to go, we understand that.
We'll pray
for
you.
So we want to pray.
All right. Come on down. Guys, come on down while we pray.
The whole family.
Come on down. Hallelujah. Now, Father, we come before you today. God, we thank you. This has been a beautiful weekend of remembering what you did on Good Friday for us, not so good for you. But God, we thank you. As I said earlier, Friday was death. Saturday was confusion and unbelief. But Sunday, hallelujah, brought joy to our hearts because of the resurrection and the life. God, I thank you for resurrecting lives this weekend, resurrecting people this weekend. God, people deciding to love you and hate sin for the rest of their lives.
Yes.
Thank you for those decisions today, those bold decisions today and this morning and Friday night. God, we thank you for all you're doing and still doing in people's lives. Now, God, as they go today, I thank you for blessing them. Blessing their families, blessing the foot, God, wherever their foot treads, it's blessed this week. God, we thank you for just the souls that they might meet this week. Put them in people's paths, Lord God, that need you, that have no hope this week, Lord God. And I thank you that you will receive all the glory and honor for everything that happens. We give you praise. We thank you for safety and blessing over their lives in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So if you want to go, hasta la vista. Shalom,
and if
shalom.
If you don't, that's okay. Come
Love
on up,
guys.
Family. I know we got a lot of the family here today.
Yes.
From Jilly's side, you want them all up here? Yeah, come on, mom.
Come on, guys. We're
brothers, all
come
of
on.
You. Come on. Yes. We know it's bigger than us.
Come on, Lexus.
Do my family.
Come on, Canyon.
You look beautiful.
Come on, fam. Aaron,